Jesus said, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. So the Lord's church, we are under an imperative, and I appreciate the brethren here and the elders wanting to support preachers in many different places, over 20 different preachers in different places, to preach the soul-saving gospel. Of all the gospel preachers, the United States has about 5% of the world's population, and by one estimate, it has about 50% of the gospel preachers. And so there are great opportunities in Africa for their receptiveness to the gospel. And just to tell you that the good that's being done, this is an email that was sent from Joseph Muturi in Kenya after I returned. He said, and that's a picture of Simon, who also went with us as a guide in Kenya, because we did about 1,000 miles of driving in Kenya. And here he is baptizing someone about a week ago. Joseph says, the work is still progressing and fruitful. I send thanks from Simon from Hippo, because they have a lot of hippopotamuses where he preaches. I mean, not in the church, but, you know, but by where the church meets. And the Kiwanja Churches of Christ, they are still singing the song of praising God for the work you did here. Thank you for sending us good, profitable material by the internet. Thank you for doing the will of God. And he quotes Romans chapter 10. How shall they hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? And that's the good work that you're doing. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel. Pass our love and greetings to the saints there and to your family. Well, we went to Uganda on my way to Kenya, where I spent most of my time with Ron Roark preaching. I went to Uganda. Remember that Uganda has, I went there for about 2 days, has 35 million people, 45 churches of Christ around Kisesi, Bali, and Kampala. And I went to Kampala right there on the Lake Victoria. And the reason I went there is one of the preachers named Chris, who is actually a Nigerian, and there's a lot of churches of Christ in Nigeria in the 1940s and 50s. And men like Sewell Hall and Paul Earnhardt went to Nigeria, so there's hundreds of churches of Christ in Nigeria. So Chris wanted to go to a place where they did not have as many churches of Christ, and so he went to Kampala, and he has developed a lot of Bible studies with a lot of different denominational preachers, particularly Pentecostal preachers in Kampala. And he said that if I came back, that we could set up some studies. So that's what we did when I was there. To the left is Emmanuel Mwizera, and he is the preacher in Kampala. We have sent him some one-time support. Emmanuel is he's there in Kampala. He was there in the classes we had for 2 days. Very zealous, very dedicated. He's talked about having to walk to go to Bible studies, very long distances, and going without food. Simply because he quit his job as a salesman because he had so many different calls to come preach. He's very talented. The brethren, if they have a problem, if something is going on, they need someone to help do some teaching, he's very well respected as far as his knowledge and his zeal. And ask him, he was telling me not long ago that some of the one-cup brethren that were trying to divide churches and get them to use the one container and say you're unfaithful if you use multiple containers, they're traveling around Uganda offering money to preachers. And so when that is happening, they'll call Emmanuel, will you come and meet these brethren and have a Bible study or a debate with them? And so he's very talented. And the brother on the right is Chris, who is the preacher from Nigeria that is in Kampala. Kampala has about 2 million people. So this is some preacher. This is Joseph. He's a Pentecostal preacher. And he's been studying. Chris is taking the picture. He's been studying with Chris for about 4 years. And so that's an important lesson for us, that sometimes in teaching it takes time for people to understand the truth. And he's talked about, Chris has told me that this Joseph on the left is getting very close to wanting to be baptized. We had this man here is a Catholic, and these are two denominational preachers that came to our Bible studies. And so over there you have a lot of different, in Uganda and Kenya, A lot of these independent Pentecostal churches, about 30, 40, 50 people. And what I've found is that people are just very open to talk about the Bible. They're very open to have Bible discussions. I was invited to go to a church in Nairobi, the Apostolic Church of God, and to teach there. And they disagreed with some of the things that I taught, but they said they're willing to consider that, and they'd like to have me to come back. So I was there for a couple of days, and I have a quote from Chris about the results of that at the end of the lesson. But then I went on to Kenya, and I was going to meet Ron Roark there in Kenya. Kenya has about 45 million people. And just to give you an idea about the 1,000 miles we traveled, we go into Nairobi, which is in southwest Kenya here, and we went to Kisii. Kisii is where Charles is. We first contacted Charles from the church's website here. He was surfing the internet and came across our website, sent me an email about 4 years ago, wanting some information about some different things. And we've carried on correspondence for a long time. So this is my first visit to Kisii, close to Lake Victoria. Lake Victoria is the source of the Nile River right there. And then we went to Kisumu, is where our car broke down. And Bugama is the next city up here. It's not on this particular map. And right across the border is Bale. And if you remember my presentation on Uganda, Moses Malisa is a preacher that's in Bale right here. And he is the preacher that, you know, said that we will not beg for money. We only want the true doctrine of Jesus Christ. And Bobby Kennan is going to visit him. So we went to Bugama. Bugama is an area where the preacher said it's been 20 years since anyone from the United States has come to teach there. So they're very happy to see us. And then Nauru is not on this map either. That is where Joseph Muturi is, Nauru. And then Neri is another place we stopped to teach. And we came back to Nairobi. So we made a circuit right there. Let me just show you, give you a little context there. You know, there it's right next to Somalia. Somalia, of course, is where you have Al-Qaeda. And there are people that have vacationed here on the Indian Ocean, right here on the Kenyan border, have been kidnapped by pirates. So you can understand why I went to the western part of the country. But you have Tanzania, and I have about a week left that the elder said they'd send me on a trip, so I'm going to Dar es Salaam this coming week. Dar es Salaam has about 4 million people. Ken Craig has gone there. There's a fellow that was baptized about 4 years ago, and he started a church, about 25 of them, and Emmanuel up in Uganda has some contacts down here in Tanzania. And remember, Al-Qaeda's up here, Tanzania's down here. So I should be okay, even though they do have about a higher Muslim population. But in many countries like Ethiopia, Tanzania, Gambia, that kind of thing, you do not have radical Muslims that like to kill people, for which I am thankful. Now, we'll go on to Ron Roark. Ron Roark has made several trips overseas. Ron has been spending a lot of time in Mozambique. In Mozambique, and some of these preachers are on my email list, in one place they baptized like over 200 people last month or so. I mean, they've had just phenomenal results simply by teaching the pure gospel of Jesus Christ, that there are people who are just very open to Bible teaching and very, I think, sincere and open. And so I was fortunate to go with Ron because he has a lot of experience in going to different places in the world. And that's a picture of Joseph Muturi. Joseph Muturi is a translator into Swahili. And Joseph was converted by Alan Turner. Some of you may have heard of Alan Turner. He's a gospel preacher that has lived in Kenya for several years. He's back in the United States now. So this is a barn. One of our classes we had was in a barn. And this is Simon, and Simon was our guide. Joseph was our driver, and he was the guide because we were going to some places they had never been before. And so he was our guide. He is a preacher at Hippo, and also he is formerly a preacher in the One Cup Persuasion. So it was good to have them along with us. So we went from Nairobi to the far western part of Kisii. And they were extremely happy to see us. Charles has been asking me to come for years and years and years. And they were just singing, and as you see, they're hugging his neck, because Ron has been there one time before. And I told him about Charles wanting somebody to please come and teach the Bible. And so we get out, and they're overjoyed, and they're mobbing him. And, of course, they don't know me, so I'm over here standing by myself, you know, feeling neglected. But they're all happy to see him. But they kind of warmed up to me after a little while. And this is Charles. Charles is the preacher that had a contact 4 years ago from the church's website. And Charles, he would sign his articles to me, Pastor Charles. And I would write, now, Charles, are you sure you're a pastor? Because there's a difference between an evangelist and a pastor. And a pastor is an elder, and an elder is an overseer. And because they're used interchangeably, an evangelist is someone who preaches. And so I gave him the scriptures, and he wrote me back, and he said, Pastor Frank, thanks for that that explanation. So finally, we spent several days there. By the end of the week, he stopped calling me Pastor Frank, okay? Finally got that. And we're having a children's class. Ron was teaching over the hedge here. We're having a class with the adults, and these are the children. Several of these are orphans. They're AIDS orphans. And Charles and several individuals are trying to help take care of some of these orphans here. And this, if you'll recognize that, the church has bought and still has some of these God's Promises and Answers, which is a topical compilation of, you have 100 different topics with about 10 Bible verses. So it's just a listing of Bible verses. And Charles let me stay in his home or hut. And he had this in his home. And you'll notice that's the sticker that we have on the back of that little God's Promises that we handed out to people. And you see how worn it is. And on the inside of it, it said, Charles's guidebook. So he has gotten a lot of use out of that. So here I am. I'm teaching outside the kids. Very beautiful background. Very lovely, lush area there. And there we are. This is where I'm just before I teach, I take a picture. And you notice the canopy is eucalyptus leaves. And they have to replace those about every 6 months. And Charles said that, you notice the kids are sitting here on the left in plastic chairs. They used to sit on these wooden benches. And he says, now they fight over the plastic chairs. You see, because that's the new exciting thing to get to sit in, is the plastic chairs. And they're very open to Bible teaching. We would teach, and then we would have questions. The church here, within probably the past year, Charles came from a Pentecostal background that believes, and really when they say they're Pentecostal, they feel like the Spirit is still revealing things and performing miracles and doing things in their life. And really what they believe is just a hodgepodge of all kinds of different things. So as far as a logical analysis of Scripture, and that's something that's kind of new to them, but they're very open to teaching because they have started teaching baptism for the remission of sins. That's when Ron Roark went there the year before. Baptism for the remission of sins. Weekly communion. We should take the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. Charles says, well, I knew that the Bible taught that we ought to do it, but we just never did it. So, the weekly communion. And another thing is when we got there, they had a keyboard. And they were playing all kinds of music and things like that. And so I taught a lesson on Bible authority and about that we should do only what the New Testament authorizes. We're in the New Testament and not the Old Testament. And the New Testament only says sing. And there is no authority or permission to add other things. And so their response is, okay. Charles said that, well, I'm going to sell the keyboard and buy a cow. That's what I'm going to do. Another thing that's really neat, you see this fellow here? All right, he's got this little, I forget, what do you call that? It's a little, but anyway, he's the usher. And he's a good usher because when the kids misbehave, he gets up and he grabs them and he makes them behave. So he was a good usher. But they're very, very, so here they are taking the Lord's Supper. You notice there are all the communion cups there. They don't have a tray. So before we left, Ron and I got them a tray and sent that to them. So there they are taking the Lord's Supper. And after we left Kisi in the far west, we went to Kisumu, which is also on Lake Victoria. We're making our way now north, going to Bungoma in the northwest part of where we're going to go. So we spent the night there, got up, and an alternator had gone out, and we had to find someone to repair it and get a part and all that. So it was going to take a while. And it just so happened that this brother here, John, had been in Nauru, where Joseph Muturi, who was our driver and did some translating into Swahili, where he was from. And he was going to the Kenyan School of Preaching. The Kenyan School of Preaching is under the oversight of the Bear Valley School of Preaching. And in the schools of preaching, they are an independent organization in the sense they have like a president, and they are an organization apart from the church. So it's not the church that is teaching and training. It's another organization that's doing Bible teaching and training of preachers. And I just asked Joseph, in the New Testament, how did they train preachers? Did they set up a human organization apart from the church, or did the church itself, each local church, train preachers? And so as we discussed that, he says, well, you know, I think you're right. And so he decided he would leave that school of preaching. He went back to Nauru to work with Joseph. So in the providence of God, you know, God can bring about good things in meeting people that are sincere looking for the truth. Then we went on from Kisumu up to Bungoma. Bungoma is not far from the Ugandan border. And in Bungoma, Ferdinand is not pictured here. If you can't tell, I'm the white guy on the left. Okay. And that is Joseph, who is our driver. And Ferdinand, I believe, is taking the picture. I can't see him. But Ferdinand says, it's been 20 years since anyone from the United States has come. And he says, we felt like we've been forgotten. When I was in Uganda, in the western part of Uganda, at Kisi, or Maliba, which they're next to each other, Cedrak said that there was a brother from Texas that used to come over here. And he just quit coming. And he never told us why. So they're very open and very receptive and eager and hungering and thirsting for the word. And then out from Bungoma, there was a church outside of Bungoma, Mamoi. Mamoi was in a little bitty town. And at this place, they had about 60 different preachers that had come to this particular place to hear Bible teaching. And in this, we had 19 denominational preachers. In fact, that's Martin. Martin is a denominational preacher. Now, the function of a translator is to accurately translate what the speaker says. And I'm the speaker, and I told him, and I tell all translators, and I make sure there's people in the audience checking what they say, is to accurately, literally translate what I say and do not embellish. Because that's one thing the translators like to do. So do not embellish things. Do not add things. And so people can understand that. You don't want someone adding things to speak for you. And that's a good lesson about adding to what the scripture said. But Martin, at the end of the studies, and we went through 1 Corinthians, responsibilities of members in the local church. And it was two lessons on that. And said there's some things you'd never heard before, never considered before. And so he's going to study with Meshach, who is the local preacher there, and some other preachers. And Meshach, who I'll talk a little bit later, was just really ecstatic that someone had come, because it's been years and years and years since anyone had come to that particular place. And he said that the brethren had been divided, they'd been discouraged, they'd been dispirited, and he just felt like that this was something that somebody in the United States cared about them, and it gave them hope and encouragement to carry on. So this is Meshach that I talked about as the preacher there. And I forget that brother's name, but what I remember about him, he's about 70 years old, and he traveled the furthest to be there, and it was 5 hours. He traveled 5 hours to be there. This is Daniel Olu. He is a preacher in eastern Kenya. But that's a great encouragement to us. When you're hungering for the Word, you will not make excuses. You will find a way, not an excuse, to hear the Word. Now, Huru in the Kawanji congregation is where we, on that Sunday, I went to preach. And John, you remember John that we met in down in Kisumu, he came back with us to Nahuru, and he's my translator into Swahili. And this is on the property where Joseph Muturi lives, and he has a kind of a primitive sawmill. That's how he supports himself. He supports himself in his sawmill. And so they made this out of whatever materials they had at hand, so they can assemble together on the first day of the week. And so here we have a picture of the brethren there. You notice that two of them are disabled, and they have to have a kind of like a wheelchair to get around. And so the brethren, of course, we, after the service there, we met together in the home of Joseph, and we enjoyed lunch together in his home. And then the next day we went out in the countryside. I can't remember it's kind of a hard name to say, so I won't try to say it, but we went out, and this is this barn that we met in. Up there is up in the mountains, and it's a very beautiful area. So we went up there and preached, and you notice how happy they are to see us, and they send us off, and I think that the precious little girl, she's just really cute there. So we have a hearty farewell and plead to come back. We come back to Nahuru at night, and Ron and I had been in the market and been talking to some of the people, and I had you can't see that slide, but I presented this lesson here on the gospel, the big picture. And so I used it. So I was practicing on y'all, so when I went there, I could present it. And so I talked to some of the people there in the market and said, I'd like to show them this presentation I have on my laptop about what is the central theme of the Bible, the gospel, what is the big picture of the Bible. So these people came, they were there waiting for us, and I was told later three of the people were baptized. Then we went on to Neri, where we had about 25 preachers come. Now, some of these preachers, in Kenya in particular, they say like in Nairobi, there's around 48 churches of Christ of all different stripes. You have some that have come out of the Pentecostal church, and because they don't have a lot of teaching and training, when they're looking for material about what they're going to present, they borrow things they got from the Pentecostal church. And so when we were in this meeting, we found a lot of a diversity of doctrinal beliefs. In fact, there was one brother that talked about that they had set up a fund for, they wanted to set up this fund for all the churches of Christ in Kenya. And they were going to oversee and disperse the funds from this particular treasury that they had set up, and it's not part of a church or anything. So it's kind of like a countrywide church organization. And so we had some discussions about that, and Ron was very clear about that you do not see any kind of institution, organization, apart from the local church, overseeing the work of other churches. That's absent from the New Testament. And you cannot say you're restoring the New Testament church and restoring the New Testament order if you do things you cannot find in the New Testament. So there were brethren that were very, you know, well, we disagree with you, or we've never heard this before, or that's a new idea. But they were willing for us to come back. And I think when Jesus says, whoever is of God hears the words of God, John 8:46, that's the best attitude that you can expect of someone. Someone's willing to listen and to change when they realize that they are wrong. This is John Mumi, which is, he is here in Neri. John was a bishop in a denomination. And when he was taught what the Bible says about the organization of the church and about how to become a Christian and restoring the New Testament church, he left this hierarchy where he said he had a promising career and he just wanted to be a simple New Testament Christian and just to preach the simple gospel of Jesus Christ. And of course, on this table here, you remember when I asked for a suitcase Well, the reason I ask you is to carry these books here. And these are, and so basically you ask people, starting with the oldest to the youngest, you go up, you get one book. And they're all excited to get a book. And so I encourage different brethren that followed me on Facebook, if you're interested in helping these brethren, you know, I can give you their email address. And if you're interested in maybe sending them some Bibles or sending them some good sound Bible teaching, they would be happy to hear from you. And so that's a way that as individuals we can help encourage the Lord's work in places where they're very receptive to the truth. Then after we left Neri, we went back to Nairobi. And there was a sister in the congregation. Samson is the preacher there in the local church. And a sister in the congregation had us to come over and have some Bible studies. And to the left, this is Francis. And Francis, he's not a member of the Church of Christ. He's a Pentecostal preacher. He would sit there and listen, and we'd discuss. And he says, well, I don't agree. But you see that people are able to discuss religion without becoming defensive or angry about it, which I find very refreshing. Because if a person is truly sincere and they're open to the truth, they'll find the truth. They'll come to understand the truth. You can't run off or scare a person off if they're truly sincere and seeking the truth. Then I was asked to go to this church. This is the Apostolic Church of God. That's their sign there, Apostolic Church of God. That's Samson, who's the preacher there in Nairobi. And he came to know this particular gentleman. I forget his name right now. But Samson said that I would be there, and Ron, and so he invited us to come teach. Now, the Apostolic Church of God is a little different, is they do not believe in modern-day miracles. That's what's called being a cessationist. That is, miraculous gifts of the Spirit ended in the first century with the apostles. But they're also Sabbatarians. So I had one shot. Okay? And so I preached a lesson from Colossians chapter 2 called New Life in Christ, from Colossians chapter 2, verse 11 through 15 or so. And that's the section that talks about nailing the Old Testament law to the cross. And that we're not under the New Testament, we're not under the law of Moses, that we're under the New Testament of Christ. And of all the Ten Commandments, only one was not repeated verbatim or in principle, and that is remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Sabbath day is the seventh day. The Lord's day is the first day of the week. And so they would ask me questions. And they had two preachers. And so, you know, had some kind of vigorous exchange. But they asked me to come back. So that's the best that you can ask for, if someone is open to what you have to say. You remember Isaiah 1:18, come now, let us reason together. So I enjoyed being with them. And then we went back to the hotel. And that's Job right there. There's Job. He is related to Joseph Muturi. They're like cousins. And so they came to the hotel, and there were some others that we studied with labor named Gabriel and his wife that were later baptized. But I had my laptop computer there and gave the big picture story of the Bible, the gospel. And after he saw that, I said, would you like to die with Christ? Would you like to be baptized into Christ and have your sins removed by the blood of Christ? And he sat there and, yes, I would. So we went upstairs and baptized him in the hotel swimming pool. Real quick, what are some lessons? How do we respond to our circumstances? When we were driving to that Apostolic Church of God to have our Bible study, we drove by this road here, and what that's charcoal. And you see all kinds of things, you know, shacks that we think, well, that looks like a slum. And there's a woman cooking inside with charcoal. What's our attitude? And she's smiling. What's our attitude in our circumstances of life? On that same road, I saw this sign. God is good all the time. Do I believe God is good all the time? When I was in Kisumu, where we didn't have electricity, didn't have running water, I slept in a hut. One morning I woke up and there was a chicken in my room. Joseph came in and he's going to prepare my breakfast. And he would come in and he would cut the fruit up, the pineapple and things like that. And he would say every morning, God is good all of the time. My Jesus is wonderful. There's nobody like him. Nobody loved me like Jesus loved me. That's a great way to start the morning. And when you think about that, God is good all the time. What bothered you this past week? See, we dwell on things that bug us instead of thinking about how blessed we are. When we were in by Nahuru up in there in the mountains, and the one I can't remember the name or pronounce the name, Titus is the preacher. He's a farmer. He invited us into their home for lunch after we taught. That's his wife to the left there. And as we went in the home, we sat down, and there's a sign. God's promise. God has not promised to keep us from trials, but to be with us in them. You know, our problems are our teachers. They teach us things we need to know about drawing close to God. And this is the hut that I stayed in right here. No electricity, no running water, no internet access. I was sitting in the room in this hut, and I noticed something went by real quick. We were eating lunch. And I asked Joseph, I said, what was that? And he says, that was a rat. And Charles says, well, we only have good rats here. They eat bugs. Okay. And that's the shower closet. When you take a pan of hot water and you pour it over your head in the morning is what you do. And one night when I was sick, a couple times, I figured out what I can and cannot eat over there. And you get sick and you got these inconveniences. And I was thinking about Jesus left the glory of heaven to come to earth for us. And I think that staying in that hut is not that big a deal. In fact, when I was stumbling around out at night to outside up in the sky, you never seen more beautiful stars. The entire majestic Milky Way spread out before you, glittering in the sky, God's handiwork. That woman is washing my clothes is what she's doing there. And this is the home of Joseph Maturi, where he says love is enough. And that's the home that Joseph lives in. He's the one that supports himself with his sawmill. So we need to remember, how do we respond to life circumstances? This is Emmanuel and Chris that we met in Kampala. And this is Joseph, who is the denominational preacher that realizes he needs to obey the gospel. And this is what Chris wrote to me. Chris said, four of those denominational preachers or pastors have confessed to me that they now understand they have not been saved because they have not obeyed the gospel. They just, faith only, that's not enough. They have been asking a lot of questions since then in my Bible studies with them every Tuesday and Friday. This is in Nahuru. Joseph Maturi said, let the brethren there know that your coming to Kenya was like Nehemiah rebuilding Jerusalem. Nehemiah chapter 2. You know, and one of the most stunning comments that somebody made to me when I was out in the bush in Ethiopia, and they were sitting on the ground, about 300. This brother, they'd always have an older brother express appreciation at the end. He says, you're coming to us all the way from America to us is almost like Jesus Christ coming down out of heaven. That's a very humbling thought. It helps us appreciate what Jesus has done for us. It helps us to appreciate those who are hungering and thirsty. And, you know, sitting in rapt attention, listening to the word. This is Meshach. Meshach says, we thank the Almighty God for the good and wonderful work you and Ron did in Western Kenya. Truly, people have forgotten the word and the way of God, but through you and Ron, you awaken the dead bones. Prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is Joseph. We are praying to our Heavenly Father to open many doors for you so you can come and assist us for the Lord. Many local churches are willing to meet you. Now, I said, turn to such and such passage, and then I grabbed my camera and I took a picture. Look at those open Bibles, hungering and thirsting for the Word. Last slide. We are praying that God will enable you and the brethren behind you to emphasize evangelism in Africa. Thanks, brother. That's John Kamani, who is now in Nauru. So again, I really appreciate the elders and the congregation having fellowship with me and going and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who are eager and hungering and thirsting for the Word. You can see that it is bearing visible fruit. We get discouraged by looking at people who are not interested, but these pictures help remind us that there are many who are interested in the unadulterated truth of Jesus Christ.